not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
Welcome back. We're in the studio with Major Eric Flowers, future sheriff of Indian River County.
Thank you. Thank you. Am I in there enough? Can you hear me okay?
Yep. There you are. Right.
There, we go. There we go.
Okay. Larry's going to start out with Gorilla Gauntlet and all get right to know him a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So we'll get into your story here in a minute.
Okay.
But before we do, we'll start off with some questions that the folks want to know.
Okay.
Very good. All right.
Very good.
So first off, married or single?
Married.
Any children?
One.
Any more?
No.
That wasn't part of the Gorilla Gauntlet.
Amen. To that. I've one and done as
one
well.
And
hey,
done.
That's three of us.
Yeah.
Yes. One and done. It's kind of like we'll see what happens.
I'm always the odd man out.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just, it's just a normal fit now.
We'll take that. We'll get into this in a minute.
Yeah. There you go. Next.
City you live in?
Vero Beach.
iPhone or Android?
iPhones. Multiple.
Yes. Okay.
That pain.
Favorite movie or book?
Book Illusions by Richard Bach, I believe is his name. It's the same guy who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. I'll have to check that out.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Favorite genre of music?
What a terrible, hard question. rock, just in general.
Is there like a go-to song? So I personally, here's my thought. And being that you can become sheriff,
right?
Don't arrest me. But if I was to get like a Tesla and I was going to hit the ludicrous mode, I figure I would listen to Shoot the Thrill, AC/DC.
Okay.
Oh, you like an anthem. Yeah. What's your anthem?
Yeah. I love Queen. So it would probably be some Queen like stadium rock song.
Okay.
But, I can go the full gauntlet, literally from bluegrass music to,
So what's the song they play whenever they're like,
yeah. Yeah.
For the first time, welcome Sheriff Eric Flowers.
Like, can't stop me.
Country. It's actually country. It's probably like a Zac Brown song or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you decide that or does your campaign manager decide
that's
that?
Probably me. Yeah. Okay. I'm big on the details. I like the little details.
Okay. See, I would figure Can't Stop Me Now.
It's not bad. It's having not a bad good song. Yeah.
All right. All right. So reservation or just walk in?
Walk in.
Huh. Yeah. Is anybody out again?
That'd be me.
Okay. All right. Favorite type of food?
Pizza.
Okay. Yeah.
A quick go-to. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. All right. I won't divert too much. What do you drive?
I drive a 2010 Ford F-150.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
I
an
appreciate
old one.
That.
Yeah, so do I.
I mean, beer. Not the Ford thing, but yeah. I appreciate an older vehicle.
Sure.
My truck has 200,000 miles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and mine's an 05, yeah. So we're on the same boat. Beer, whiskey, or wine, or none?
None.
Okay.
Yeah, none.
Okay.
I was thinking about this the other day. In 2019, I went on a cruise in February, and I had it one night. I had some drinks. That's
okay.
The last time I had an alcoholic beverage. So, yeah. It's not. It's just my job. That's what
right. No, I can certainly understand.
You're almost a year in then, without having your last drink.
Almost.
And by that time, it's part of your lifestyle. So you're like, whatever. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not even a big deal.
Yeah. It's not for me. Like, I love ice cream. I love sweets and stuff like that. And so I'd rather have that than the calories in a beer anyway. So
yeah, I can understand that.
Question. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. All right. So, yeah.
Favorite flavor of ice cream? Probably just straight vanilla with chocolate on top of it, like chocolate sauce.
Okay. Like a sundae?
Yeah, but I'm making it at the house. I'm getting like Trader Joe's chocolate sauce and putting it on top of it.
Okay.
Turn it into a concoction, my own little thing there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you say you're always on.
Yes.
Like, what does that mean exactly? For
like
a simple
I could get
like
up
me.
And leave in the middle of this podcast because something is going down. So that's a very real thing. And it happens to me in my life quite often. This past Friday night, I was at home watching the kid, you know, little guy. He goes up to bed, and I got a call that we had a SWAT call out, and my wife's on the way home from work, and I'm not going to explain to the SWAT guys. I got to wait for my wife to get home to watch the baby, but I'm changing while she's on her way home, and as soon as she walks in, we pass the baton, and I'm gone.
Oh, wow.
And so
wow.
I was out till, I don't know, I got home maybe 2 a.m. on Friday.
And what do you do currently?
So I'm the major of the Bureau of Law Enforcement. So anything that happens in law enforcement falls under my purview. I mean, if it's, you know, from the helicopters to the canines to SWAT, law enforcement, crime scene, all of that is at the end of the day, the buck stops with me.
Nice.
So when you get a call out like that, yep. And I mean, obviously you got a lot of people on scene and people are maybe en route or already there.
Yep.
What is your thought process? Are you thinking about like... I guess you're thinking about the big picture, or like on the way to the scene, are you worried about like that? I guess you got to be worried about it all, really. The activity, like what's actually happening at the scene. But then, I mean, you know, because I mean, some of those things, you can shut down roadways, you can shut down neighborhoods, you can shut down. I mean, the scope of those things can go much wider than just what the actual call is.
First and foremost, I'm worried about my folks that are on scene, right? Obviously, if we're calling out SWAT, I'm worried about them, and I'm worried about the community in general, the other people that are around that could get hurt as part of it.
Yeah.
I trust my folks before I get on scene, and I know that when I get there, I'm going to get briefed, and I'm going to take over as the incident commander. So I have complete faith in them that until I get there, they're going to have that scene under control, and they're going to do what they need to do. And then that's exactly what happened when I got there. I take over as incident commander, and I start looking, like you said, at the big picture. What else do we need? What isn't here, right? We've got SWAT here. One of the things that I called for was a drone. Hey, where's the drones at? We need to fly a drone in this situation. So anything we can do to add to our arsenal, add to our tool belt, as I'm sure you're aware, yeah. You know, let's add additional people to the scenario. So anything we can do to help.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So when you get called, right, because that's kind of a big deal, if SWAT's getting called in, how, like, is your adrenaline going, right, for somebody who doesn't know, like me?
Yeah, so the minute I get called and told that SWAT's being activated, two things happen. One, I turn my radio on, which I have at the house, and the second thing I do is I go right to my agency phone, and I've actually got the ability to pull up our calls that are happening in real time from dispatch. So I can see in my phone all the notes that dispatch have put into that call. So that really comes in helpful because I talk to the press. I mean, that's part of my job too. And so I'll get calls from the press, and a lot of it is stuff that isn't SWAT worthy, isn't, you know, necessarily big deal, but it's something the press wants to report on. So I can pull that right up on my phone and see the history of that call and see what's going on with it and give them real time updates. We actually had a stabbing last night. Press is calling me at 9:30 at night. They want to know what's going on. Instead of me bothering dispatch or the supervisors or anything like that, I go right through, read the notes of the call, and I'm up to speed on what's happening, and I can talk to the media right there.
Does that come to become cumbersome? Like the press is already wanting to know, and you're in the middle of it still. I mean, is that kind of just part of the job where it's just a norm now?
It's only cumbersome when the press doesn't have patience. I've been in my vehicle listening as a call comes out on the radio, and then my phone rings from the press, and our folks aren't even on scene yet. And the press is asking me for information about it yet. And I'm like, hey, listen, you got to give our guys time to get on scene right. Before I can even tell you what's, I heard the same radio traffic you heard. I'll let you know when we get there.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That's the most frustrating time. But other than that, you know, if it's something past or whatever, I don't mind talking to them.
And so they're doing this through the radio scanners.
Yeah, they listen to on any which way they can. They're always listening to us, and the press, people on Facebook,
just everybody. I had a friend, his dad. I won't say his name, but his dad. When we were in high school, I'd stay over, hang out. You'd hear it on. He had it on all night.
Yeah.
Like instead of sleeping, he had that on so loud that it would wake him up so he could be involved and hear what's going on.
Believe it or not, one of the reasons I'm in police work is when I was like 8 years old, my dad bought a scanner. And cops TV show was a big thing like in 1988. Remember when it launched?
Yeah, it was.
Fox,
that's
like
right.
Fox was still news. It was still a new channel. Yeah. And I watched Cops as a kid. My dad had that scanner. He was a security guard, and everything was like, I mean, that was all part of life growing up. Like my dad was into it. And so it was something I wanted to do. He was actually a mechanic, full-time mechanic, working on cars and stuff. And I remember being in high school, right? Mm-hmm. Dating Rachel Vandervoorty and saying, Rachel, I'm going to go be a cop. And she was like, no, you'll get shot at. And I was like, Rafael Minotis. I'm going to be like Rafael Minotis. And she's like, no, you can't do that.
Oh, I remember Rafael.
Yeah,
he was our SRO. Yeah, he was our, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
He left right about the time that I started at the sheriff's office.
So. I got a pretty big trouble with him.
Did you?
Yeah. That's another story.
That's another story for a different day, my friend.
I did. I was good in high school.
So I got stories about you, so don't even.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we'll hit the pause button. And I'm curious which ones you got. So
I'm saying, we skipped school together. I remember that.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, no. What you talking about?
I do. I remember.
I do too, actually. Just
so you started the SO here. Was this your first law enforcement job?
It was, yeah. I was working. I started here pushing carts at Walmart in Sebastian. And when I went off to college to Orlando, I opened a Sam's Club up there. I worked my way up to being a manager at Sam's Club. And I actually got transferred back to Melbourne, and I was a team leader in Melbourne. And 9/11 happened, and I was like, I was already thinking about going to the military. I was thinking about the Air Force. I was a big Star Wars nerd, and I was like, I want to fly one of those fast planes. I don't know. I want to do something cool. And 9/11 happens, and I said, I'm going to the police academy. And I jumped right in the police academy, and I never looked back. It was the best decision I ever made. And fortunately, Sheriff Raymond hired me and brought me on board, and definitely a great.
How long
great
did Raymond?
He was sheriff from 2000 to 2008. He did two terms.
Okay. Is that it? I felt like he was longer than that.
No, it was 8 years, two terms.
Okay.
Yep.
And so now the current sitting sheriff has been running for, or he's been
sheriff. Yep. Yeah, he worked 20 years at Florida Highway Patrol, and then he left and came to us in 2009. When Raymond left at the end of eight, he took over in 2009, and it'll be 12 years at the end of this term. So three terms.
Wow.
So he'll have 32 years in law enforcement.
32 years.
So he's ready.
That's a long time.
God, yeah. That's a long time at any job.
Yes. It is, especially this.
Any job, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine, because he like when you become sheriff, are you going to be are you on call all the time still?
Yes.
Same scenario.
I view it that way. I believe that I'm always on call. I mean, no matter when. 1 week out of the year, you know, I mentioned that I was on a cruise ship and I had alcohol. I'm doing that again in February this coming year. Nice. And it's 1 week out of the year that I turn my phones off. I put them in the safe. My wife has her phone on, and it's just the time to totally decompress. And otherwise, I consider myself always on duty.
That's why I like cruises.
Yes.
Because you don't have any other choice. You do have a choice. Kind
it's
of.
A lot. It's an easier it's just choice very expensive. To make, though, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I consider myself off. Otherwise, once a year. I'm always on.
Okay.
I'm always on duty. So.
What did you get your degree in when you went off for college?
So my bachelor's is in business administration from Stetson University. I didn't go off to Orlando and get that. I started at UCF, and I came back. I finished my associate's degree at Eastern State Brevard. And from there, I heard a commercial for Stetson, and I had toured Stetson when I was in high school, and it was the most beautiful school I'd ever seen. And they were saying, hey, do you have 60 credit hours? You can get your bachelor's. And I went up there, and they were amazing. It was actually the Orlando campus. So I drove as an undercover detective. While I was an undercover detective, I drove up there every Saturday and sat through classes with Disney people and got my degree in business administration. And then I said, I'm going to stay and get an MBA. And they were like, it's the same teachers. It's the same kind of classes. Go do something else. And so I applied for the master's program at UCF, and I got accepted. I smoked through that in like a year, and I got my master's at UCF. I drove up constantly taking classes. And then my professor, I was on a wiretap actually at the time for prescription pills. It was a big case that happened here. And she was new to town. We were about the same age. And she was telling me, she said, hey, I need to get tenure. I'm studying. What's going on? I said, this opioid crisis. So this is like 2011. Like, this opioid crisis is out of control. And of course it got worse from there. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
She said, oh, that's great. I'm going to put in for a grant. She got a multi-million-dollar grant out of DC, and she got tenure. And she's like, you can't stop. You got to keep going. So I listened to her, and I went downstairs and I talked to the folks in the public affairs PhD program. And I jumped in that program, and here we are 7 years later, 8 years later. And I'm going to graduate with my PhD next semester. So.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So it's been a long road.
Do you want to teach us how to podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So That'll be an interesting title, Dr. Sheriff.
Yes, yeah. That's one of those things. That people, and that's one of the things that I feel like has always helped me because at the end of that road, I know that they're going to call me doctor. And so I told the sheriff, I went to him in 2012 and I said, listen, I want to take your job when you're ready to retire. I'll never go against you. I'll support you while you're here. But when you're ready to retire, I want your job.
That's awesome.
And I said, listen, I don't care what you call me around here. You can call me Skippy. I don't need a title. They're going to call me doctor over there at UCF. You don't have a title here that impresses me. That impresses me. So you call me whatever you want. I'll do whatever you need. I say, you give me the hardest job here because that's what I want.
Nice.
And I've always gone in and told him that. And, you know, I want to be out there with SWAT. I want to be on those scenes and making the tough decisions every day. And that's why I want to be sheriff.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you ever watch cop movies and you're like, ugh?
It depends on what it is. You know, some things are very unrealistic and they give the public unrealistic expectations.
You mean the detective doesn't go in by himself with one gun?
Right, and solve the entire crime. Yeah.
Like kicking the door with right. no warrant.
And then he's also processing the DNA at the yes. lab and all that stuff. Yeah, it's frustrating because the public gets a really bad perception of what, you know, when we have an officer involved shooting, the first thing they talk about is, why didn't they shoot him in the leg? Okay, that's a movie. Right. We don't have that ability.
No.
And so it's just frustrating.
Right. Cause what I would say, it said to myself, if I was to be a police officer, I would come, my priority is to come home.
Of course.
That's it.
Right.
Anything else is secondary. Right.
Well, we got to protect the public. Right. I mean, that's what we're ultimately out there. Number one is the public, you know, that's absolutely it. We're out there to protect and serve. And then, you know, of course, protect each other, protect yep. ourselves. And then, you know, if we can save a life, we want to do that as well.
So Die Hard.
I like Die Hard, so I can't say anything bad about Die Hard.
Is that the best Christmas movie?
It's a great Christmas movie. My son is absolutely addicted to Home Alone, and I've seen Home Alone thousands of times.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, it's a good movie. So. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I was really, you're like, I had a question for you. And I was like, oh, it's going to be a good question.
It was a good question,
but I was like, it wasn't what I was expecting. It definitely wasn't what I was expecting.
Speaking of your son, but your son's autistic. Am I right?
He is. Then? Yeah. Yeah. He's 4 years old. It's been a conversation between me and my wife the last couple days. We've been talking a lot about it because there's a lot of treatment options. And we're getting ABA therapy in home. The therapist goes with him to school. He has language therapy, you know, all kinds of stuff. But there's some experimental things that are happening, and we've been having a lot of talks at home about that.
Okay.
And it's very interesting.
Yeah. My niece is autistic.
Okay.
She, your son is verbal or?
He's nonverbal.
He's nonverbal. Yeah,
he had about 10, 15 words, and then he stopped saying them at 18 months, and that's when we got the diagnosis. We took him first to Jacksonville for hearing, and they said, no, it's not hearing. This kid can hear, which he can. And then we went to a developmental pediatrician in Orlando, and they said, no, this is what autism looks like. This is where you're at. So
yeah.
Stop saying his words.
And do you feel like having that now in your personal family, do you think that gives you a connection to that side of the community?
Yeah.
People that are out there.
Absolutely. I mean,
because I feel like law enforcement, especially in that job, when they get a call with somebody that's autistic, you don't know really, you know,
it's hard to tell.
It's very really difficult. Hard to tell.
Yeah.
So, how do you think that helps you with that side of our community?
You know, it's certainly a focus of mine, ensuring that our deputies get autism training. And we're actually partnering with Vero PD. It's being announced now. We've got a special needs registry that's coming out, and it provides a bracelet for anybody with special needs. My son, actually, I'm very blessed that when they brought this idea up, I said, I want my son to be number one. So he's actually number one in the database.
That's
and,
awesome.
So he'll have one of those bracelets, and law enforcement will know what that bracelet looks like and immediately know this is a person with special needs. They'll be able to call into dispatch and they can get information about that person and be able to know what their challenges are and how to reunite them with family if need be. So
that's big.
I think that's pretty powerful. Yeah, I think that's nice for any adult with exceptionalities or any student, anything. I think it really lets.
And when is that supposed to start?
It's kicking off right now. Actually, I believe that the news stations are picking it up like this week. So you should start to see it rolling on the news. But somebody can just walk into any of the law enforcement agencies in the community, wherever you live, you can register and they take a picture of your loved one. And it can be anything special needs. Doesn't have to be autism, could be Down syndrome, could be, you know, anything that they have, just mental issues. You know, if they have mental health issues, we'll put them in the database.
Yeah, that's big for sure. I think that's kind of progressive to, you know, think about our community starting something like that, because that's not everywhere.
No, it's pretty unique, and a huge credit to Lieutenant Harrelson with Vero Beach Police Department. He's the one who came up with it and said, "Hey, we need to get on the same page." And I think all the law enforcement agencies came together. Everybody said that's a great idea. Let's do it. There's been, you know, it's no drama. Everybody jumped on board, and it's been great. So very exciting.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
So you get your PhD, but during all this, you're making moves at the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not working Road Patrol anymore. You're not the peon anymore.
I did 3 years in road patrol. I did, 5 years total undercover. In the middle of that, I took about a 10-month break where I was the sex offender detective, keeping track of the sex offenders. From there, after my 5 years total, I got promoted to sergeant. I was sergeant of economic crimes for a little while, which was back in the detective bureau. So I went to, you know, I worked call outs for homicides and other things as a detective sergeant. And from there, I got promoted to Sergeant of Public Affairs. Then I became Lieutenant of Public Affairs. Then I became the Major of the Bureau of Administration, which was a huge challenge. That's Fleet, IT, Records, the Courthouse, School Resource, all the other stuff that nobody wants
to deal with. Less law enforcement and more
management. Totally different side of things. Yeah. You know, hiring, bringing people on board, just a totally different. I did that for 2 years. And then just this July, I became the Major of the Bureau of Law Enforcement, which has been a breath of fresh air back to all the alpha male personalities on the law enforcement side. You know, I had all the civilians inside the agency as the Major of the Bureau of Administration, and I just did not realize, you know, all the personalities and all the things that happen in a civilian world. So I'm excited. Chain of command is a great thing.
Yeah, it's got to be a completely different animal.
Oh, absolutely.
From going from dealing with law enforcement to civilian.
Absolutely. Totally different. So,
but great, challenge. Great experience, though, to be able to have both under your
huge.
So when were you promoted to sergeant?
2012.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So it's been 7 years, but 7 years to go from sergeant to major is a pretty big jump.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
So what do you say to the people that say he's just another good old boy that rose to the ranks because Lore liked him?
Yeah. So I would definitely say to those folks that, you know, look at my experiences in the agency, the things that I did when I was coming up through the ranks, you know, the pill mill case that really, I believe got me promoted to sergeant, was a statewide wiretap. I'm actually in the process of reading a book right now about the first one that preceded my case. And we were up on 8 different pill clinics. We closed 8 pill clinics around the state, Sarasota, Jacksonville, Miami, Orlando. I mean, we closed a whole bunch of these pill clinics. We arrested 7 physicians. Huge, huge case.
Yeah, that's a big case.
Pam Bondi came to town and they all said, "Hey, you need to promote this guy." I mean, that was a big case, writing those wiretaps. When they added up all the words, they said I wrote more than War and Peace for the wiretaps. Like the first one was 400 and something pages, the first one that I wrote. I mean, it was just unbelievable. It was, you know, it's a big document to do that kind of stuff. So DEA was recruiting me really hard, and that's when I went in to see the sheriff to tell him, "Hey, I want to take your job when you're ready to retire," because I didn't want to go work for DEA. I love our community. I didn't want to go work on the Texas border. That's not me. I don't want to do that job. And so the sheriff thought I was coming in to quit. He thought I was coming in to say, "Hey, I'm out." And he was very happy when I did come in and say what I said. So when I told him that, he recognized that his time here left was finite, right? That he knew he was going to do 2016. And I'm pretty sure at that point he knew, like, that's probably it for me. 32 years in law enforcement is enough. So his goal at that point is, okay, I've got this young guy who's ambitious, who's getting his education. It's my job to train him up and get him ready to take this job when I'm done. You know, that's ultimately, as a good leader, you're always trying to pull people up with you and get them in place so that they can replace you.
Yeah, we've discussed that. We were actually just discussing that before,
right before you walked in.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's an element of that. And did I move up fast? Yeah, absolutely. But I've had some really good experience along the way. And I'll tell you, you know, every hard decision that happens, I'm in on it. I don't always agree with the sheriff. You know, we don't always agree on everything. And there are times where we absolutely flat out totally disagree. And I say, "Sheriff, I think this is a bad move." And then sometimes he he's right. And I go, wow, that's experience. I'm learning from him. Yeah. There are times where he goes, you were right. And we have that mutual respect for each other. We can totally disagree, but at the end of the day, he's my boss. And, you know, I got to do what he tells me, what is his decision until I'm the guy.
And you said you went into the SO, you went in the police academy in 01. So how long have you been?
No, I went in actually in early 03. Okay. And I was hired in late 03, October 03. I started on my birthday in 03.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. It took me that long. So September 11th is 9/11.
Yeah.
It took me most of two to get the paperwork, to process through the academy and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, for the people that may think that you rose through quickly, I mean, you've gone through schooling, you've gotten a lot of experience. Like, there's a lot of work that you could do to get you there quicker.
Oh,
that some people don't do.
Absolutely.
Right?
The experiences that I've had in my 16 now years of law enforcement are incredible. I mean, I've been through the FBI Academy up in Quantico, Virginia.
How was that?
You just did that not long ago, correct?
I did that in 17.
Oh, 17. Okay.
Yeah. October 1st, 2017. I was up there. Just some of the stuff that I've been involved in at the sheriff's office has been really unbelievable.
I used to think I wanted to do that, and then I was like, I'm too old.
The FBI?
Yeah.
If any federal job, you got to be 35 or under to jump into that. So I missed that window. Missed that window.
Yeah. I think people that don't know, and the listeners listening, is the fact that you couldn't have to go get your doctorate. You can still be on the same path without that. So I think it shows a lot to who you are and what you're trying to continue your education to make yourself better for this position, because you could easily just be done with that and do what you need to do in your job, but yet you're still trying to do the other things to make you better. So,
and I think other people have recognized that too, because you just got a big award, right? 40 under 40?
Yeah, 40 under 40 from the International Association of Chiefs of Police. I was in Chicago to receive the award. First time in Chicago. I got a crazy Chicago story for you. I don't know how political you guys get on the show or not, but so President Trump came to speak to the chiefs. He came.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Oh, okay.
So regardless of where you're at, president came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're there. We're hanging out.
It's huge.
So
that was horrible.
After he speaks, you know, there's a bus that runs us back to our hotels because this is a huge convention center. So I said, okay, man, this is cool. I'm gonna head back to the hotel. So we get on the bus. The bus is taking a completely different route back to the hotel. I have no idea what's going on. There's protests all over the city of Chicago. The bus driver at some point stops and says, well, boys, this is as far as I can take you. He dumped us out right in the middle of the protests.
Okay.
So you got a busload of cops right in the middle of this Trump protest where he was just speaking to us and all these folks are very angry about it. So now it's like, okay, got to find my hotel room.
It almost sounds staged, like the bus driver did it on purpose.
Nope.
I'm not saying he did, but it almost sounds like.
There's a river that runs right through the middle there, and Trump Hotel is on the river. Mm. And so all of the bridges that cross that river were all blocked because they didn't want the protesters crossing to get to the hotel. And so we were just stuck, and the only thing they could do is just drop us right there. And so we crossed on foot, but they had mounted patrol and everything there. So it's pretty wild.
So were you like showing some kind of uniform?
No, I was in my suit. And so there were other guys that were in uniform and they bolted, you know, they went right to the hotel.
Yeah, I would.
Because Chicago is a big no gun area. And so, you know, just flying into Chicago with your gun, I didn't do that. You know,
right.
I just didn't do it. Yeah. But actually they all went that way. I went towards them. I wanted to see what was going on. Like, I'm like, I'm in Chicago and there's a protest. I got to see this.
So Chicago's a big no gun area for legal owners.
Yeah, but it's still a pain to fly to the airport and everything. I just didn't want to deal with
it.
Yeah, so growing up,
I actually like Chicago. Chicago is one of the cities that I've been to that I'm like
in the Magnificent Mile area.
Pizza is fantastic, by the way.
Yes,
that should be on our. That could be a great gauntlet question.
New York or Chicago?
I really want to go for St. Patrick's Day when they dye the river.
Like, that would be cool. I would love to see that.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
I would go back. I mean, I thought it was a cool town. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed. Very expensive.
Yeah,
very expensive.
Yeah, no, it is. So you going towards the crowd reminds me of, as a kid, I used to live in a city called Laredo, Texas, right on the border.
Okay.
And every day there was pretty much police like at somebody's house around the neighborhood. And my grandma would be like, come on, let's go see what's going on every time. So like the crowd would always gather around the outside of the house. Just to see what's going on. Because there's always a police officer.
She brought you with her.
No cable.
Yeah.
Like,
No cable.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to go see it. I wanted, and I walked right with me and there was another guy that was with me. We walked right through the middle of the protest. I just wanted to see it. And then, of course, we walked over to Chicago PD. Those guys couldn't have been any nicer. And I tried my best to recruit as many of them as I could. I said, it's 82 where I live and I can hire you right now.
Yes. Yeah. You got a big selling point. This is Paris.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. That's true.
And I said, the cost of living is very low. Come on down. I'll hire you right now. So,
yeah.
So when you went to Orlando, that didn't, like want you to go to the big city?
No, I actually did not enjoy the city. I like that anywhere in Indian River County you can jump from Fellsmere to South County in 15-20 minutes. That's, you know, you don't have to wait at lights. I get frustrated when the snowbirds are here. I'm like, three times at 58th and 60? What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Not exactly.
Yeah, it's a good time.
It's because you got the motor cop out there.
Yeah, we do. We've got some great folks out there. Yeah. It's a good time. But I know we were going somewhere else before I told that crazy Chicago story, but I have no idea.
That's okay. But I brought up the 40 under 40 because I feel like other people have recognized what you've done too. It's just lore.
So what is the 40 under 40?
So every year, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and when I say international, I truly mean international, they choose 40 top upcoming law enforcement officers under the age of 40. And I was actually the first Florida Sheriff's Deputy ever selected for the award. So no Florida Sheriff's Deputy has ever received it before. So that was especially cool. But I was in there. There was a girl from Dubai who received it, a young lady from Dubai. Royal Canadian Mounted Police were there. One of their deputy or whatever they're called, Mounties, received the received the award. And so it was a diverse crowd. And the guy who sat at my table that I had breakfast with, he's actually the new chief of Ferguson, Missouri. And so I got to talk to him about what it was like. He came from Georgia to take over that police agency in the middle of, you know.
I'd call everything. Not it on that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
That's a big ask.
But hey, he's at the convention, so he's obviously.
He won the award, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got his stuff together, apparently, right?
No doubt. Very, very.
Yeah, but you think even for somebody like that that's got their stuff together, I mean, I feel like that's more of a risk for somebody
I can see
you have
that.
A lot of opportunity all over, and you're going to go take that on? Like,
but you know what, though?
That's a big ask.
But that's that. Yeah, I mean,
obviously that's probably the right guy for the job then, if he's more than willing, where he has options probably and still takes it.
I understand what he's saying. The average tenure of a police chief in America is 2.5 years. So this guy's under 40 and he's taking on that job. That's a big risk, right? He could very well do the rest of his career there, or he could be gone in a year or 2 years because people say, this isn't.
But right. if he pulls it off,
man, he's as good as it gets. You know, that's
yeah. Because Ferguson's
awesome.
Kind of it's crazy. If you follow the story, right, it can be pretty crazy.
One of the things that we talk about all the time that I believe attributed to the incident in Ferguson, the fallout after the event, is public records in Florida are so different, right? I mean, anybody can walk in and request anything from the sheriff's office right now. You want my salary, you want my text messages, you want any of that stuff. All that is wide open public record. And so you'll notice that whenever we have something, we get out in front of it right away. We're presenting to the media, hey, here's what's happening. Here's what happened. Here's why it happened. In Ferguson, if you look at that incident, they said, we're not releasing anything. No comment.
Yeah,
so that's why Florida Man happens, right?
That is exactly why Florida Man.
I try explaining this to them that like
let's talk about Florida Man.
Florida Man is out there.
So for people that don't know what Florida Man is, right? Because I actually had somebody out of town told me that they're from like Massachusetts. They're like, yeah, what's up with Florida? I was like, what do you mean? They're like, there's a whole subreddit a subthread of Florida Man. I was like, what do you mean? So I started reading it. It's great content.
I'm so glad that you're all you guys Reddit guys. Or
I haven't read into it, but I know about
Reddit.
It.
Yeah, I love Reddit.
Reddit,
my
yes.
People, not my
yes.
People.
Yeah.
That's what I do at night. I read awesome. Reddit. I can't believe that.
Between Reddit and YouTube, it's amazing I get anything done.
Yeah. But
I mean, if there's anything I waste time on, it is Reddit and YouTube.
My wife, I'm laying in bed, and my wife's like, what are you reading? And I'm like, relationship advice on Reddit. Those stories are unbelievable.
And then the comments are even better. Better.
Oh, I love it.
All right. So I have a question.
Those are rabbit holes though.
So YouTube.
Okay.
Do you read the comments or no?
No, I really don't. I don't pay attention.
Oh my gosh,
comments.
You're missing half the entertainment. My wife. I just had this discussion with my wife last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, half the entertainment is the video. The other half is the comment section.
I'm an Amazon review guy. I'm always looking for the funny Amazon reviews.
Yes. Gummy bears.
Yes.
Haribo.
Oh, no doubt.
Sugar-free.
Yes.
Gummy bears are the best.
Yeah, I've seen those
people
those
who
are funny.
Do funny comments on Amazon, they're my hero. I just love that people spend time doing that, that they have time to do it. Yes. I buy so much from Amazon that the UPS guy like knows us by name.
Yeah.
I don't have time to review this stuff. I love that people do that.
I'm with you because, the Haribo... For folks that are listening, Haribo sugar-free Amazon reviews.
Well, I think it all started with the wolf shirt, didn't it? I don't know. With the three moons. Remember that shirt?
I don't remember what it said, but I do remember reading some reviews on that.
That's where it really started. That was the first time I ever became aware of people doing funny things on Amazon.
Okay.
It's a shirt with a wolf and there are three wolves and a moon or something. It's awesome. The comments are amazing.
I have to check that out because I know the sugar-free gummy bear one.
Yeah.
They're all... Yes. Bathroom jokes, but I appreciate it. So
that's sugar free. It'll get you.
Well, because apparently, if you eat too many of those that are sugar free,
it's probably
not good for you.
Because they probably put the sugar alcohols or something in there, and that stuff.
I'm not sure, but apparently,
I'm pretty sure if you eat a lot of that stuff, it'll go right through you.
Yeah. I'll tell you the other thing that I'm totally enamored with, and you guys are gonna laugh at me, but I end up watching it. I don't want to say hours, but way too much of it is TikTok. Are you guys on this thing?
Oh my God. All right. So here's the deal. Listen,
we're not good at social media.
We're not.
You have a campaign going right now.
We struggle. That's learning. We're learning curve.
So I was able to get us on TikTok.
Okay.
A second
my
account.
First hour because Corey tried to create one.
Okay. And then we never got the password back.
And then Corey's
so couldn't get on
the password.
I may have
asked him every week. Like, I don't know the password.
Not only that, but. I'm like, just reset it. He doesn't know how to do it. So I'll just take care of it from
I'm
here.
Not no, the IT guy.
I got this. So anyways.
You got to spend some time on there.
It's awesome.
There's some fun ones.
It's very entertaining. Very entertaining.
Yeah.
Once you get your, it's like Spotify or anything else. Once you get it dialed in for like what you find entertaining, everything that pops up in your feed, there's no political drama. There's no, you know, nonsense local drama. It's just people having a good time. And it makes me feel like what social media felt like when it first started, like my first MySpace account.
Oh my God.
I have that feel again.
All right. So did you have MySpace?
I did. Yeah.
Did you have your own like background?
Of course.
Who didn't?
Yeah. I used to love MySpace. Hey, MySpace was way better than Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Corey's younger.
Who was the top 10 on the friends list there?
Tom.
Tom. Yeah, he's everybody's best friend.
Of course.
Tom's broke now.
You know, I was...
Tom is a millionaire.
Tom is doing good.
I had just come back...
He sold before it went under.
I had just come back from Orlando, and somebody here in town, Sebastian, had a party, and they invited me over. And I don't know if you remember Brent Self.
Yes.
He became a fireman.
He played baseball.
Yeah, he played baseball. And I went over and maybe he had just met his wife or they were engaged or something. And I went over there and like, just hit us on MySpace. And I'm like, what space? And he's like, MySpace.
MySpace. But
yeah.
Your space?
And that's when I went home and made a MySpace account after that. I was probably 20, 21 years old, something like that. I remember that. So
I feel like, and I never had a MySpace. My wife did. Like,
Baby.
No, I was just completely against social media for
it's whatever
you barely,
reason. Barely text.
I hardly text. Like you gotta call me if you want to get a hold of me. But I felt like you had to put it together a lot more, like a web page almost.
Which is way better, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, it was your educational. Own
yeah.
More
educational?
Yeah. And the fact that you actually had to do something.
When people were using Facebook, I was like, that's stupid. Yeah. Don't use Facebook.
I remember MySpace because you could put your own playlist of your favorite songs on MySpace, right?
Yeah, because what I like about MySpace is that people could visit my page and hit at me on my MySpace, like Brett Self was saying.
Yeah.
So I was like a nerd when I got my first computer in like 95. Windows 95 was a big thing. And so I had
one of the beginning ones back in the
day. Yeah. So I had like
2 megabytes.
Literally, I laugh every time I get a new phone because I'm like, this one's like 20 times more faster than my first computer. 1.2 gigahertz, right?
Yeah.
1.2. So.
A little floppy disk.
It
is.
I had the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing by the facial expressions, that's not a lot.
No, it's sad. It's very sad.
No, it's not.
No, but
I'm messing.
I created like an Alta Vista like web page back then, you know? At that point, MySpace was sort of just people. It was a way for people to create their own web page without having to do some of the nuts and bolts, but you still had to use, there was HTML coding and stuff that they
wanted
to
You had to copy and paste the codes and things and find them. I remember that.
It was a big deal
that
you had to do that, but
Before that, did you have Live Journal? Because I know my wife had Live Journal.
I never had Live Journal. No. And it took me a long time.
Never even heard of Live Journal.
It was pre like MySpace. It was social media though.
It took me a long time to migrate from
get on my level.
From that to Facebook. It was a long time before I officially made the jump where I was like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
I remember being one of those laggards on that.
So was I, but there was nobody left. It was like me and Tom.
Really?
Yeah. It's like Tom.
And Eric.
But Tom wouldn't write me back. he wasn't adding me.
That's funny.
Damn it, Tom.
We mentioned Reddit and we just went down like major rabbit holes there.
I know,
a bit.
But that's okay.
But that was good.
That's okay.
Awesome. So, yeah, sure.
You said he kind of helped you along Sheriff Lore.
Yep.
And did he help you with the campaign? Because he knows you're going to campaign then. Because that's got to be a whole different animal, right? Like, that's not law enforcement related anymore.
It is. You know, I had my own ideas of what I wanted to do. He, as far as like helping me, advice.
Yeah.
But I've got my own strategist. I've got my own people. They're not people who worked with him.
Okay.
And, you know, he'll tell you, and he says it out in public all the time. He'll say, like, you know, I'm a flip phone and Eric's an iPad. Like, he makes that analogy.
Yeah.
Because I looked at some of the stuff that he did and I said, you know, like, I want to be high speed about this.
You
know,
arcade.
I want to make sure that people recognize my logo, that people know what, you know. So I did a lot of different things than what he did and I'm continuing to evolve and do new things. So
well, that's awesome.
It's always fun.
So how does one become a campaign manager? Like, what do you look for? Not necessarily that, like, what are their credentials, but like, what do you look for in that campaign manager?
It's got to be somebody that you can work with, but that'll also be very open and honest with you because I want him to tell me, hey, listen, you're screwing up or this looks terrible or, you know, this is really the wrong way to do things. And he needs to understand that it's ultimately my decision because it's my campaign. It's my name that's out there, but I want him to give me that feedback and I want him to be completely open with me. And so he actually said, my strategist, he said, I won't take you on until I come meet with your family, with your wife. I want to know that you're the right candidate, that we work together right. And so, you know, there was a whole process that went into that before we ever did anything. So
I can appreciate that. They want to know, you know, the whole Eric Flowers, not just the name and this
one-time meeting or something. Yeah, because he's put blood, sweat, and tears into this too. Yeah. So he wants to know that he's absolutely on the right track as well. So my wife is amazing too. I have to mention that. I can't do this without saying, I can't do what I'm doing right now without her. So she's a huge part of my parents and her parents. They're all amazing. Her sister, they're all good people. They help.
That's gotta be hard, right? If you're always on call, you're always busy. Like it's grueling. And this is so again, to the folks that may say, oh, he rose through quickly. They're not seeing the extra hours that you're putting in. They're not seeing the nuances that it takes to get to where you're at. And it's not easy.
People look at me campaigning and they're like, I don't know how you do it. I've been doing this for 5 years. I've been keeping up with the sheriff constantly when he was going out night after night after night. Throughout the entire 16 election, I was with him the entire time. Every time we went somewhere, I was with him doing this. So for me, it's like a marathon runner training for a marathon. I've been training for this for years. This is my life.
Yeah, and this is the next step.
And I think, too, to mention your wife, I think it's not just you running. It's your family. Your family has to go through this process. I'm following you on social media. Your wife's there with you a lot of time. I mean, she's involved a lot with you. And
I tell people, too, if there was somebody else out there that I looked at and said, this guy is better than me, this guy should be the guy, I'd be out holding signs for that guy. There's no doubt about it. If there was somebody else that I thought, you know, this guy really, I respect him, I would be holding that person's signs. I don't want to drag my family through this. I don't want my family to have to do this. I mean, it's something I aspire to do. But I wouldn't, if there was somebody else out there that I'd say, man, that guy's just a better person than me, I'd be holding their signs.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Because it's a lot. It's a lot on your family.
Just real quickly before, I know we're going to have to wrap things up, but how do people get involved with the winner? Can they get involved with your campaign?
Absolutely. Flowersforsheriff.com is my website. They can go on and sign up and they can sign up to volunteer. They can sign up that they just want a sign for their yard or if they want to hold signs or anything. There's a whole menu of options that you can choose. Or you can just sign up to get our email list and I'll keep you updated on what's happening with the campaign. So please like and share social media. That's all good stuff too. We appreciate that. Absolutely. I got to come back and tell you guys about my undercover experience.
Definitely.
We didn't even talk about that today.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's plan that.
That's the most exciting thing.
I wanted to ask, but I was like, I don't know if you'd be.
I love talking about that.
I think I know about that one.
Which one?
The pill.
Oh yeah, that's a boring story. I got way better stories than
really?
That. Oh, Oh yeah.
Now, yep. Yeah. Yeah, this is a. Yeah.
I'll come back sometime.
And we're back monthly with Eric Flowers.
I would love that.
Yeah.
We always ask this question at the end, just to kind of get, we want to kind of hear from you there. With based on your experiences, what is one of the most important pieces of advice you can give to our listeners? It doesn't have to be, it can be anything that they could implement into their lives to improve their lives and move forward.
The most important people are your family and the people, you know, whatever that means to you, right? Like family in 2019 is a different definition than it was in 1950. It doesn't matter who they are, who you consider family, they're family to you, and make time for them, love them, care for them, because you only get one shot with them, and everything else is just noise. You know, take care of the people who take care of you.
That is solid advice.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you.
Yep. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, as he said, please like, share, subscribe, follow our stuff on social media. If you've got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us Instagram and Facebook at Full Gorilla Life and on Twitter at Gorilla Full, like beautiful, but with a gorilla.
Oh, look at that. Nailed it. It's up to me now. All right, so don't forget to visit our website at fullgorilla.life, as well as hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice. There it is. Messed it up.
Almost had it.
Later.
All right.
Take care.